And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And that he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And the rumour of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John, that's John the Baptist, showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men came to him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus, answering them, said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, how the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
There's been a gap since we had the reading, because it's good for the children to hear the reading. So I'm just going to bring us back to these two crowds meeting. The one following Jesus, full of the message of hope of the kingdom of God, eternal life, and the other crowd, the funeral procession and the weeping mother. We've got service sheets too for anybody that wants to follow the reading too, or just be reminded. Has everybody got a service sheet that wants one? Makino's got copies if there are any. Okay, we're all right. I love the first phrase in this reading, and I preached on it before. And it came to pass. It wasn't an accident. It came into being that these two crowds met. It was in God's plan to start with. It happened and it came to pass. Luke wrote that down. God brings moment by moment everything into being. Life and death on that day were meeting head on. Let's look at the sad crowd. Why were they sad? Death, the death of the only son of a widow. Her only support in those days, an only child, dead. And people got to know of this, and it was counted a tragedy. Much people, a big crowd, were with her. The mother was sobbing. Death is a fact of life in this fallen world. It's bad. Our opening verses, death and evil. Whatever your spiritual beliefs, everybody agrees death is bad. And unless our Lord returns first, we shall all personally experience death. And I think all of us have lost precious loved ones through death. We know that death is a fact of life. But God's word doesn't just say that there is death, it tells us the reason for death. We were not made to die. God made human beings perfect to live forever with him. It's death is the wages of sin. And we get a reminder all through the scripture. How did this come about? Romans 5. Sin entered the world through one man. That's Adam. Adam and Eve making the wrong choice, going against what God said. And death came into the world through sin. And so death came to all people because all sinned. What about the Jesus crowd? Well, they're on their way, they're heading south from Capernaum, that lakeside fishing village on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus has just been doing a big teaching session. It's called by experts on the Bible, the teaching on the plain, just outside Capernaum. And he's heading south to the next village, which is this city called Nain. Also, fresh in people's minds, as they followed him on his journey, Jesus had just done a miracle for a Roman centurion. The one with so much faith in the one true God that he'd built a synagogue for the Jewish people. The one who had so much faith that when his favourite servant fell mortally ill, he just sent word to Jesus and said, "Don't even come to my house. You've got the authority. Just say the word and my servant will be healed." So that was an amazed crowd following Jesus, meeting the crowd of mourners. What was going to happen next? Well, verse 13, Jesus had compassion, and Jesus said straight away to the widow, "Weep not." Jesus comes straight in with comfort for the living. And so for any of us, perhaps this morning, my message is Jesus sees. He has compassion. And he says, "Weep not." Why does Jesus say that? Because Jesus has won the victory over the world, and he has won the victory over death. Jesus explained to his disciples the very night before his crucifixion. I'll read to you what he said. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And that day, outside the city of Nain, Jesus had more than victory over the world to declare. Jesus showed victory over death. He came and touched the bier. And the beer, the frame. We see beers on the news every day if we watch it in Gaza. Bodies wrapped wrapped up and then being carried on a frame. We see that. And the people that were carrying the young man stood still. And Jesus said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. It was a miracle. But people have different reactions to miracles. There are lots of miracles in the Bible. And one question just want to you to think about. Do miracles help spread the gospel? Do miracles change people's hearts? Well, our quick answer, yeah, it might be, yes, of course they do. They make a difference. They do make a difference. But is it also possible to dismiss them? Or say, there's some other explanation. Or he wasn't really dead. Miracles alone will not convince a heart of stone. Let's look at some of the different reactions in the reading. Well, the mother's reaction, we don't need to be told. She was delighted to have her son back. We are told the reaction of both crowds. A fear of God came on them all. They glorified God. That is good. It is right to have respect and fear of Almighty God and his power. They glorified God. That is, they gave him the honour due to him. They recognised that only God could have brought a dead man to life. But even an acknowledgement of, oh, there must be a great God out there somewhere, it isn't enough. It's the faith that counts in the Bible is faith in a personal God. Who was this Jesus? Was actually the most important question. Well, some said he was a great prophet. Not enough. That's not getting who Jesus was. A good teacher, a very wise man. Not enough. Others said, God has visited his people, which is a quote from the Old Testament. Yes, God himself was with them that day. They got the message. They got who Jesus was. And the news spread all around. And it got back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who after everything that he'd done and heard, he wasn't sure. He sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask, are you the one that should come, that the Bible's been talking about, or should we look for another? And this was John the Baptist, born to elderly parents in a miraculous way, commissioned from before his birth to prepare the way of the Messiah, who recognized Jesus at their first meeting, when they met face to face. The man who baptized Jesus, the man who saw the miraculous sign of the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove, the man who heard the voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. In the face of all these miracles, John the Baptist had doubts. See, miracles are not enough on their own to bring people to faith. There is something more dependable. Actually, do you remember that one of the three temptations of Christ by Satan was about showing off his power by miracles. Did you know that was a temptation? Satan, I'll just read it. Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set Jesus on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." That's from Psalm 91. Note the cunning of Satan. Surely miracles are a good way of bringing people to faith. Why don't you show off, just go off the edge of the temple in front of everybody and then have them see the angels lower you down? And notice the double cunning of Satan. He uses some scripture to back up his argument. But withstanding that temptation, Jesus does what? He quotes the word of God correctly applied. It is written, "Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." Now, Jesus carried on doing many miracles because while he was on this earth, he was filled with compassion. He saw people's needs. And certainly today, there are miracles. Actually, each one of us who have been called from the kingdom of darkness into the light of God is a walking, living miracle. And certainly there are miracles which accompany preaching today, all over the world. So miracles carry on. But it's the word of God and the spirit of God that makes the difference to a person's heart. Going back to our reading here, the miracles carried on while the disciples of John were still around. In that very hour, it says, Jesus cured many of their infirmities, plagues, evil spirits, and to many that were blind, he gave sight. Now, Jesus wasn't doing I don't want to speak disrespectfully. He wasn't trying to provide a higher stack of miracles to convince John. Is that enough now? Do you believe? It wasn't that. The answer that Jesus gave to take back to John was scripture, was the word of God. He gave the more sure word of prophecy, which is all that we need to approach God, to recognize our Saviour. Jesus gave these words to show that scripture is being fulfilled. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, to the poor the gospel is preached. Jesus is the fulfillment of all scripture. Jesus says, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Almighty God is bringing everything to pass. He's declared what is going to come to pass in his word. From beginning to end, Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Moment by moment right now, the Lord is bringing his purposes into being. Nothing in heaven or earth can stop the will of the Lord being carried out. We want to be part of his will. Proverbs 22:30 says, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." Just a final call about, are we in the will of God and part of his purposes? Are we choosing life and good? Because that choice is set before us each day. It's a matter of life and death. Our eternal destination is the most important thing in our lives. If we believe the word of God is true, and we love our fellow imperfect human beings, are we telling them about how true the word of God is? Are we telling them about Jesus and the kingdom of God, which lasts forever? Because if we do, and when we do, the Holy Spirit comes straight into the situation and has the opportunity to begin working in another person's heart and do what we can't do, move a precious human soul from darkness into the kingdom of light. Just some more comfort and clarity from the words of Jesus about signs and wonders not being enough to convince people. Jesus told a parable about life and death. Most of us know it. The parable of the rich man and the beggar named Lazarus. Now death came to the rich man and Lazarus alike, as it will to all of us. Death showed up their eternal destination, as it will our own. And the rich man found himself in Hades, in torment. But he could see Lazarus and Father Abraham across the great gulf. And Jesus ends the parable like this, with the rich man crying out to Abraham, "I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And the rich man, he said, "No, no, Father Abram, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But Abraham said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Brothers and sisters, we believe. We are not offended by the message of Jesus. We are blessed forever and ever. Amen.